This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Ang Lee, directed the new film adaptation of Jane Austen's novel Sense and Sensibility. Set in 19th century England, the story is part social satire, part romance. It revolves around two sisters who hope to find men to marry. The younger sister, Marianne, played by Kate Winslet, is a romantic. The other, Eleanor, played by Emma Thompson, is more reserved and believes in upholding the social code at all costs. In this scene, Marianne has just said goodbye to Mr. Willoughby, whom she believes is the man of her dreams. He shares her romantic nature and her love of poetry. Eleanor thinks Marianne should show more restraint.
Good work, Marianne. You've covered Shakespeare, Scott, all forms of poetry. Another meeting will ascertain his views on nature and romantic attachments, and then you will have nothing left to talk about, and the relationship will be over.
I suppose I have erred against decorum. I should have been dull and spiritless and talked only of the weather or the state of the roads.
No, but Mr. Willoughby can be in no doubt of your enthusiasm for him.
Why should he doubt it? Why should I hide my regard?
No particular reason, only that we know so little of him.
But time alone does not determine intimacy. 7 years would be insufficient to make some people acquainted with each other, and 7 days can be more than enough for others.
Or 7 hours in this case.
The setting of Sense and Sensibility was new territory for director Ang Lee. He grew up in Taiwan and first came to the States to attend college. Two of his previous films, The Wedding Banquet and Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, were Academy Award nominees for Best Foreign Film. I asked him if he was surprised when the producers of Sense and Sensibility asked him, an Asian American man, to direct a film about 19th century English women.
Yes, I was very surprised. I think they're crazy when I first received the script, which is, I think, last September when I was doing a European tour to promote Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. But I saw Emma Thompson's name on the cover. I was very confused because they cannot be ridiculous with Emma's name. I just assumed she's attached to play Eleanor. In the script, so I just kept reading it. About halfway, it started to make sense to me. The subject matter is very much what I did before. And not only that, but the tune of the project, which is combined cynical social satire, funny on one side, with, on the other side, the warm, sincere family drama and being romantic, usually these two doesn't get along. So I'm the kind of filmmaker to do that. So it felt as if it's a call of destiny that I couldn't help but being attracted to the project. Of course, I have to overcome the culture barrier, which is brave for me and brave for the producers.
Had you ever read any of Jane Austen's books?
Shamefully, no. I grew up in Taiwan. I always saw Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen on the bookshelf in the bookstores. But I just assumed that's for the girls. I never picked them up.
So did you read Sense and Sensibility before making the movie?
Yes, of course. After I decided to take the job, I read the book. And as I said, I felt very much of destiny. That for all this time I was at Jane Austen without knowing it.
Now, I know that you think of 18th century England as being, you know, a foreign culture to you. I think of it as being a foreign culture to me also.
But that's why I did it. I think it's safer than to do a contemporary American piece.
Really?
It is a foreign film. Nobody has seen it. My guess is as good as anybody's guess.
Right. Well, that's an interesting point. That's true. That's
and
true.
Because it's foreign to us, because it's period piece, you allow those abstract emotion and story to happen. I think that's the benefit, actually, to me.
Now, what did you want to bring out of the natural beauty of the countryside in England, where most of Sense and Sensibility is set?
Just shoot them. That's so beautiful.
Isn't that what you had to do?
Pretty much. The only thing I add artificially, I think, is to frame in such a way that every frame has a sense of sense and sensibility, which I think is a very important dialectic aspect of the project. the lines, the emphasis on the English landscape, which is artificial way to bring nature to life. It's very period thought, spirit, the build those landscape. So those lines are very, very tamed, but very emotional. The color I use, the green and the gray-white, I think is very, and the use of cloud is, has some sense of emotion, sensibility, and also the straight of the line and the tame shows a lot of sense. If there is anything I put into it, that's that aspect.
Now, Emma Thompson wrote the screenplay, the adaptation for Sense and Sensibility. Did she write it for herself? Did she assume that she was going to play the older sister?
I don't know. That's a secret only she knows. I just assume she's attached to the project. I was very surprised when she said I didn't have to cast her, and I have to ask her to play it. But as soon as I asked, she couldn't wait to jump in. I mean, I wrote the lead part according to myself in my first two scripts. That's just nature. I think she wrote a perfect Emma Thompson role. Emma is Eleanor. Maybe there's a consideration of age. Well, I think she really wants to be a writer when she wrote the script. It's not necessarily she is attached, but I think she put herself in Eleanor a lot.
Well, you mentioned the age thing. I think Emma Thompson's about 36, and in the novel, the character's 19. I think in the screenplay, she's more like 27.
Yeah.
But did that concern you, that Emma Thompson is, you know, considerably older than the character's supposed to be?
Of course. Not only because she's older, but a lot more sophisticated than Eleanor. I just hope that the difference between the two sisters, in terms of sense and sensibility, is by nature, not by age. Because somebody older, so she's more sensible. So the most work I work together in portraying this part is playing younger. She has no problem play complex scene, difficult scenes. She can do in a second. Plus, she wrote the script. She really know the material backwards. So the real task is a lot of moments. She has to play very innocently, very young, very fresh, intuitively. So that was the biggest job. We do a lot of exercise to de-sophisticate her.
What kind of exercises would you do to de-sophisticate her?
Breathing, meditating.
How does breathing and meditating help with that?
Well, just reduce tension and more focus on who she is, who she's playing. And also a lot of movement, let's say walking like Eleanor. We create a baby-like walking. In the first 15 minutes of the movie, I was very careful not to give her close-ups except candlelights to let audience get used to she being Eleanor. Once audience take her as Eleanor, she has no problem in playing because she's a great actress. No, lighting helps, but that's small help. The biggest has to come from her acting. I wouldn't let her voice go down certain pitches, because when she's going, pitches go deeper, she sounds older and more mature. And just keep reminding her. She's very good at that. When you remind her once, she never forgets. Once she's into that character, like 10, 15 minutes into the movie, I think she can do whatever she wants.
Emma Thompson published some of the diary that she kept while you were all making Sense and Sensibility. And she writes in that diary, "I've learned that Hugh Grant and I caused Ang Lee great suffering the other day. He has never had any actor question anything before. In Taiwan, the director holds complete sway. He speaks and everybody obeys. Here, actors always question and make suggestions." Does that ring true to you?
That was the first day. I was very shocked.
What did they say? What did they challenge that was so shocking?
Well, this is a shot I thought I perfectly mapped out with them walking through the English landscape, which is very sense and sensibility. It's an artificial way to bring nature to their garden, to their life, and they're sensible person, the way they fall in love is very remote. It doesn't really sweep you over until the end. So, you know, I decided to put them way back in the garden. And they got a little freaked out the first day of shooting. I think at first they thought I didn't get the joke, which it is a joke, but I don't need them to speak to the camera. I would rather like to shoot from the side and from their back. So there's some argument there. After that, we had a very good heart-to-heart conversation, and we both understand each other, and things start to go smoother and smoother every day.
Now, Emma Thompson also wrote, Aang's style of leadership is somehow to draw us all to him silently and wait for things to happen. He has the shape of the shots in his head and always will stand for silent minutes on end, thinking through the flow of the scenes to see if what we're doing will fit his vision. I find it very inspiring, but it's quite different to being told what to do. So did you think that your more introspective, silent approach to directing was throwing off some of the actors?
That's my nature. I love making movies, but my nature is such, sometimes maybe not the most efficient as a director, but somehow I get it done. I think that's how I get it done. In this subject especially, in this project, I think I'm more playing as a seducer. I try to seduce the most out of them and take it from there and then decide what's the best for the movie. I very much put ego aside and first talk to them and see what they see, how they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there are shots I had in my head previously, but some of the scenes, more talking scenes, I wouldn't mind to do some of the dilemma of rehearsing, argument, then see what material I have in mind. That's always how I see movie making should be done. It's not really a dictatorship, but the movie should have a life of its own. And as a director, you observe what you have in hand, what the life, the organic approach should be. So it's not, you don't always know what exactly you're doing. And I don't hide that fact. You know, as a director, sometimes you have to hide that you don't know what you're doing and make a quick decision, tell people what to do. The result could be end up quite stupidly. You can make stupid decisions. So, sometimes I lose a little face and let it go a little chaotic and see what's the best way to do, to make the movie.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Aang Lee, and he directed the new movie Sense and Sensibility. He also wrote and directed The Wedding Banquet and Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. Let's take a short break, and then I'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Aang Lee, the director of Sense and Sensibility, and also the writer and director of The Wedding Banquet and Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. You grew up in Taiwan. Was your family very traditional?
Very much so.
So what were some of the traditional values that were important in your family?
It was very male-centered.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of honors.
A lot of what? Honors?
Yeah, honors. My father was from China. His family was demolished by communists, and I was the first son he has in Taiwan. So there's a great sense of honor and family tradition. The family name should go on very much on my shoulder. So a lot of that.
Now, what are some of the other responsibilities that come with being the first son?
Well, I have some more sons, of course, to continue the family name. Being a respectable man, so to honor your family, I think that's the most important thing.
Was your idea of what you needed to do to honor your family different from what your parents expected you to do to honor them?
Yeah, for me, the honorable thing to do with your life is do whatever you do best and do your best towards that. To me, it's to make funny movies, which is not exactly their idea of an honorable thing to begin with.
So was there a difficult period for you when you decided to pursue what you wanted to do instead of obeying your parents?
I do the same thing as I do with this project. I keep quiet and have things come in my way. As long as time is long enough, I just persistently do what I do.
Well, it probably helped that you left Taiwan for the United States to go to college and then to study filmmaking in graduate school at NYU. I mean, that was that distance helpful
to
you?
Yeah, far out of their reach, yes. But, you know, they still call, they still write letters, at times visit me, like the wedding banquet. There's no escape.
Well, yeah, no, the wedding banquet is an interesting story. In the wedding banquet, a young Chinese man now living in America is expecting a visit from his father. But this young man is gay. And, you know, his lover is another man, and he doesn't want his father to know that. So he kind of stages a wedding with a woman, so his father will think that he's straight. And, of course, the wedding turns into this really elaborate wedding. Was there any equivalent situation that you faced where you had to fake something or stage something because of a parental visit?
Well, that was my friend's story. I put a lot of me. I pretty much portrayed the leading character to my own nature. It's always try not to offend anyone, try to loyal to the family. My version of wedding was in the marriage bureau. There's a lousy marriage scene in the movie that was mine. My mother was crying, thinking it's such a sham. I didn't have a wedding banquet. She just embraced my wife and cried, hug her, and say, "Sorry, we didn't give you such a shabby wedding." That was my version. I have to put up a wedding banquet, which I see over and over again in my lifetime. Through everybody's wedding.
No, so what was your mother unhappy about?
I didn't give them a wedding banquet. They came to visit me from Taiwan, and I married in a marriage bureau in City Hall.
Oh.
Yeah, with a group of exotic people.
No, how did you feel about not doing the big wedding banquet, knowing it would break your parents' hearts?
Somehow I just have a cynical view of wedding banquet. I think it's a social ritual. It has nothing to do with your marriage, but it's a social statement. But people take it so sincerely. At that time, I was busy with my thesis film. I just couldn't cope with that. I just thought, no, just get over with. My wife was fine with that. And I know they're probably not being thrilled by that. I didn't know they totally break down. So I have a lot of guilty feeling.
You still have guilty feelings?
Yeah. I think the making of Wedding Banquet, the movie, sort of a amendment for that feeling.
Well, what did your parents think of the film?
I think they loved the movie. Yeah, they see a lot of themselves in the movie. I pretty much portray the parents like my own parents.
Now, you know, a lot of people would go ahead and have the big wedding, even though they didn't want to, just to please their parents or just to make sure that their parents weren't offended. And I think it's a very difficult decision to make.
Yeah, it's oldest son in the family. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you decide that you'd let them just deal with it, that you weren't going to do something that wasn't true to yourself just to please them? Especially, I mean, coming from such a traditional family where, you know, piety is so so important.
I guess I stayed in New York too long. I decided to be a rebellion against it. But once you do that, you feel sorry what you did. Because I do that very rarely. I was a very obedient child growing up. I'm still is.
Oh, so maybe you were just kind of rebelling against your own obedience.
Yes. One of the rare times that I do that.
Do you think you're finding a place for yourself in Hollywood? How much do you want to be the independent filmmaker, and how much would you like to do more assignment type of films like Sense and Sensibility?
Depends what moves me. I think I will still develop most of my material in the future. But if something like sensibility come my way, if I'm moved, if I can find a connection between the material and the most sincere, deepest emotion I have, and then I will do it. In terms of Hollywood, I hope I can be free from that. Should I need Hollywood support to do certain things, I engage into that machine, but still try to find the maximum of freedom. And I might even use that money to do independent work. I hope I have a freedom to do any size of movie, as long as the size of the budget is best for the project.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Ang Lee directed the new film Sense and Sensibility. He also wrote and directed The Wedding Banquet, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, and Pushing Hands. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.